Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something awakens imagination, empowers storytellers, and connects the Missoula community through the transformative power of personal storytelling. It is a celebration of each other, our stories, and how we move through the world together. All the stories at Tell Us Something are true. Stories last for 10 minutes and are told from memory. Everyone is welcome to tell a story. The Missoula community comes together for a night of true personal stories, shared live, focused on a theme. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This episode of the Tell Us Something podcast was recorded in front of a live audience on September 15th, 2015, at the Top Hat Lounge in Missoula, Montana. Six storytellers shared their story based upon the theme, Oldest Trick in the Book. This edition of the Tell Us Something podcast comes to us from Paul Scar and is titled Scambodia. Thank you for listening.
Ooh, so earlier this year, in January, I was in Phnom Penh, which is the capital of Cambodia. And on this particular day, I found myself in an apartment with two women who had invited me over for lunch. And they were from the Philippines, and they were visiting their brother, and who lived in Phnom Penh. So we're finishing up lunch, and in comes their brother, the man of the house. And he comes in, and he greets me, and he introduces himself as Augustos. And he says, come sit down so we can chat. So he comes sit down on the couch, and he's very excited to meet me, speaking great English. And he says, I'm the first foreign visitor in his home out of 20 years he's been living there. So I guess he's honored or whatever. And so we keep talking, and eventually the conversation gets to, I ask him what he does for a living. And he says, well, I work at the Naga World Casino here in Phnom Penh. And in my 28 years of working there, I've learned the deep, dark secrets of the casino. So naturally, I say, well, what are they? And so he kind of gives me a smile, and he says, well, you see, I'm running this blackjack scam at the casino, against the casino that he works at. And he basically just introduces it, and he says, I got a card table set up in the bedroom. Come back, and I'll show you more about this scam. So I follow him back there, and we sit down, and one of the girls from that I had had lunch with, that I came with, came into the room also. Her name was Anna. And so we're sitting there, and he starts dealing cards like we're playing blackjack. And he's like, what do you have? Flip the cards, 21. Blackjack, you know, he's like, okay. And then so he does it again. And once again, it was 21. And the whole time Anna is there, and she's like, ooh, you know, getting more and more excited. Each time he does it, and I ask her, I say, have you ever seen your brother do this? She's like, no, never. That's why I was getting so excited. So we kind of keep talking, and he explains more of the scam, where I'll have to come in, and you basically go in, and you win four hands in a row, and the dealer's going to be giving you 21s four times in a row, and you go all in. And he's throwing out big, like, amounts of money, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and, you know, all this. And I could potentially keep, or I would keep 20%, and I had to give 80% back for all the people involved on the floor, you know, that are involved in this scam. So we talk on and on, and he says, well, there's also other ways to cheat as well. And so he begins to show me, he draws his hand on a piece of paper like a Thanksgiving turkey, and shows me different points for each finger and like different hand formations he can show to show me either what the dealer is getting or if somebody joins the table, like what my opponent is getting in their hand as well. So, and then he also shows me, he flashes me a card real quick, and that's the next card that's going to be drawn. And so, you know, you can easily cheat somebody if you know what the next card is going to be and what they have in their hand. So we keep talking on, and just to give you my kind of frame of thought at this point, I really thought nothing was really amiss, and I didn't think anything was wrong. And I wasn't actually planning on going through with this scam, but I'm a guest in this man's house, and, you know, I'm just politely listening, and it's very interesting, too, you know. And so we keep talking. It must have been an hour we were sitting in this bedroom. And let's see what happens next. We keep talking, and then all of a sudden his telephone rings. And he picks it up. He's like, hello? Who? oh, Mr. To you. Oh, hello, sir. Yes, yes, okay, maybe we see you later. And at this point, Augustus's demeanor changes somewhat. And he explains to me, he's like, that was Mr. To you. He's a businessman from Singapore. The last time he was at the casino, he won $800,000 and he didn't tip any of us. I want to milk him. And so I say, milk? And he's like, yes, milk. And he writes the word milk on this piece of paper and circles it. And you know, and I didn't really expect to be a part of the milking process. And I thought maybe at the casino later he was going to try to scam this guy or whatever. But he quickly gives me two $100 bills. They use American currency in Cambodian. He says, so maybe we see Mr. T later and we play a friendly game of cards. You know, here's $200, but he kind of quickly takes it back and gives me $200 worth of chips. And so we're kind of sitting there and he's kind of acting like he needs to go. And he tells me like how I'm perfect for the scam and because I'm a foreigner and he'll never see me again. And, you know, and it's a one-time deal. So, you know, I'm perfect to do this, but he's kind of acting like he needs to go back to work. And things are, I feel like they're kind of wrapping up, and I asked to use his restroom, and he says, oh, no, it's being cleaned. And, you know, which I thought was kind of suspicious. And he acted like he wanted to keep me in the room, you know, but I told him I really had to go to the bathroom. So I went out in the hallway, and bam, this guy, Mr. T.U., is coming inside the apartment. He's about a 65-year-old man. He's cleanly dressed. He has gold jewelry on, has a briefcase. And we Augustus ushers us all back into the room, and we kind of sit down. And he's like, "Oh, Mr. Paul, this is Mr. T.U." And we shake hands, and so maybe we play a friendly game. And Mr. T.U., Mr. Paul has already given me $200. How much money in chips would you like? And Mr. T.U. coolly grabs $2,000 out of his wallet and hands it over. And so at this point, I began to get really nervous, thinking like, "Okay, like this is getting real here," and I'm about to potentially like cheat this guy, you know, out of some money here or whatever. And I didn't really feel like there was anything I could do about it. And so he buys $2,000 in chips and we begin to play. And using the hand signals and the flashing of cards, I begin to win. And I remember one of the first, maybe the second hand, Mr. T.U. makes a $500 bet. And one that I couldn't match with the $200 I was given. And so Augustus says, Mr. Paul, will you take a $500 loan? And I kind of look at him confused, and he puts the folder he'd been writing all this stuff on, he puts it up next to his head, and he's like, yeah. And I look over to Anna next to me, and she's like, yeah. You know, she kind of tells me yes, too. So I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll take the loan. And so I won the hand, and then it happened again. I think this time it was $700. And yeah, I won a few hands, and at this point, Augustus leaves the room, and the door was cracked, and he's outside in the hallway, like, yeah, you know, acting all excited, and then it's just me and Mr. T.U. just hanging out. We're like playing for all this money, and I'm supposed to be acting like this high rolling American or whatever, and I ask him about him, and he says he owns sky rises and condominiums in Singapore, you know, one of the richest cities in the world, and so just very super awkward conversation, and so then Augustus comes back in and he says, so we agree this is going to be the last hand, and because Mr. Paul needs to go back to his hotel room and da 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 da, and so we agree, okay, it's going to be the last hand, and so we begin to play, and I distinctly remember getting a 5 and a 6, and I knew from the hand signals Mr. T already had 20. And so, Augustus flashes me the next card, and it's a 10. So I know I'm going to have 21. I take the card. And we're making bets back and forth. It's a blackjack poker. You kind of make bets after each hand is, or after each card you receive. So so I remember being so nervous. I had 4 chips left. I have no idea what they're worth, but I didn't want to lose all of Augustus's money. So I put down 2 out of 4 chips on the table. And Mr. T goes, ooh, I don't think you got the cards that you needed. And he just reaches down, grabs his briefcase, opens it up, pulls out a brick of $100 bills, $40,000. And he hands it to Augustus. And Augustus is like acting all excited. And he's like, he hands it to me. And I'm just like, ugh, you know, I don't know what to do with this. Hand it right back. And so it's like, so obviously the next question, Mr. Paul, will you take a $40,000 loan? So I had 21, so the answer was pretty easy. I'm just like, yeah, you know. And so we're about to show cards. And Mr. Tu, he's maybe seeming like he's getting suspicious or something. And he says, okay, wait. Before we show cards, I want to, I got to see more money. And so, and Augustus is like, no, this is my longtime customer, Mr. Paul. You know, I promise you, he's good, he has it. And he seemed to be really putting the pressure on Mr. Tu to just go ahead and finish the hand. But he's like, no, I want to see the rest of the money. So he, Augustus says, well, would you mind if me and Mr. Paul go to the next room to discuss how he will be able to get his money to pay me back? And so, go to the next room, and it's just me and Augustus now, and I'm like, dude, you know, this is not what we talked about. Right, we talked about one-on-one at the casino against the dealer, you know, not against a real person. He's like, oh, I know. I'm so nervous right now. I almost fell out of my chair when he pulled out the $40,000. And I'm like, no. I was like, I do not want to come back and finish this game. And then he calls somebody on the phone. He's obviously trying to get like a quick like $40,000 loan from his buddy. And I'm just kind of in his face like, no, don't want to do it. And so he gets off and he's like, okay. Well, here's what you got to do. You got to go and tell Mr. Tu that you need to go to the hotel room, get your cash, and postpone the game and come back and finish it. So at this point, I get very calm because I realize that hopefully this is my way out of this thing. And And so I come in there and I'm like, Mr. Tu, me and Augustus decided that it was best if we go get, if I go to my hotel room, we postpone the game and I'll come back and finish it up. And he says, oh, no. I can't wait on you. I have a meeting with a business associate in 30 minutes. So call me when you have the money and I'll come back and meet you. So I'm like, okay. So then eventually Augustus comes back into the room. And we tell him our agreement. And so he gets out an empty briefcase and he puts the $42,000 in there. And he's like, okay, well, Mr. Paul will keep the key to the briefcase. And I'm like, no, it's not my money. I don't want the key. And Mr. Tu kind of agreed, like, yeah, it's my money, and I'll take the key. And so Mr. Tu took the key. And he says, okay, Mr. Paul will keep the hands of cards. And so he conveniently had two different colored envelopes, and I put my hand in one, and Mr. Tu put his in the other, and we sealed them shut, and then I signed his, and he signed mine, and I was to keep those, and the money was to stay at the card table. And now the briefcase is still open, and Mr. Tu says, Mr. Paul, do you have any cash on you to get closer to the pot? And so I'm thinking, okay, if I got to fork over a few bucks here to get out of the situation, I'm going to do it. And so I pull out my wallet, and I had two 20s in there. And he says, no. He's like, that's not enough. Do you have any debit cards or credit cards on you? And so kind of the same thought, if I got to go cancel my debit card after this, I'm going to do it. And so I start to get out my Wells Fargo card. You know, it has the horse and buggy on there. And he goes, oh, no, we don't need your Santa Claus card. And he basically just shoves it back in my wallet. And so that was it. And so pretty much Mr. Tu left shortly thereafter. And I tell Augustus, you know, so it's just the three of us now, me, Anna, and Augustus. And I'm like, dude, I do not want any of this money. I do not want to come back and finish this game. And he's like, oh, no, you get $8,200. He tallied it up. He's like, you did great. You started this. And I'm like, no, I want no money. He's like, well, at least let me give you money for your holiday and your guest house. And I'm like, no, I want none of it. So pretty much I was able to get out of there after that. And over the next week or so, I was telling every traveler I met this story, and I was firmly convinced I had just ripped poor Mr. Tu off of 40 grand, you know. But I felt like I did the things I had to do to get out of the situation. But then it kind of dawned on me the true nature of this card game, and I began to realize, was it Mr. Tu that was getting scammed, or was it actually Mr. Paul? That's it. Thank you.
Paul Scar is the type of person that works to live and doesn't live to work. A native of Marietta, Georgia, he has been working seasonally and living permanently in Missoula for the past 8 years. This schedule allows for plenty of time to travel and sample the local fish populations. Thanks, Paul. Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thank you to our title sponsor from the 2015 season, the Bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. And thanks to all of our sponsors, Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years. The Top Hat hosts a variety of Montana-based artists and has become a destination for national touring musicians. In addition to great music, the Top Hat hosts comedy shows, film, performance art, and storytelling. In addition to great entertainment, the Top Hat offers a unique dining experience centered on local house-made ingredients. TopHatLounge.com. The Wilma Theater, a locally owned and independently operated venue, the Wilma has anchored the Missoula cultural and entertainment scene for almost 100 years. Constructed in 1921 as a vaudeville house, the Wilma has been utilized as a movie house for the majority of its history until the 1980s when the Wilma began to once again host live entertainment. Now it is a state-of-the-art facility within a spectacular historic building. TheWilma.com. Haley Faust is a graphic and media designer based in the heart of the Rocky Mountains. From concept to final design launch, Haley puts her heart and soul into your design project. HaleyFaust.com. Zoo City Apparel, custom screen printing. ZooCityApparel.BigCartel.com. Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provided the music for the podcast. Find them at CashForJunkersMusic.com. Rockin' Rudy's, your source for the best music, gifts, and more. Great music, great people. RockinRudy's.com. Podcast production by Mark Moss. Thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and most especially to the storytellers, Acton Seibel, Paul Scar, Kevin Harrington, Steve Gonzalez, Susie Risho, and Jill Beauchamp Albin. Remember, your story matters. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Check the website to find out how you can tell your own story and learn about the themes for the 2016 season. TellUsSomething.org.